shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul, seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons speak with such a screech. You'll shake and shudder in surprise when you hear these zombies shriek.
Right. Took a longer than anticipated hiatus, but I am back. The Slasher Sanitarium is brought to you by the Questionable Endeavor Network. Visit questennetwork.com for more information. You can email the show because nobody has ever done it. I guess you don't like me. The Slasher Sanitarium at gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at Slasher Podcast or like our Facebook page. Visit patreon.com/slasherpodcast to support and keep the Slasher Sanitarium alive. If you wish to sponsor the Slasher Sanitarium, please head to advertisecast.com/824. Visit our website, slashersanitarium.weebly.com. Today, I am bringing you Happy Death Day. Brand new show, or brand new movie, I should say, that just popped up on Netflix. And we're going to get right into it. This movie begins with a church bell ringing, and some chick wakes up with perfect makeup. She looks around the room and sees someone bent over in the corner. She asks if she is in a dorm room. This is apparently the worst thing ever for her. Her ringtone is also a terrible song that says, "Today is my birthday, and I ain't gotta answer the phone." So Dorkass says he folded her pants, and she whips off her shirt. He turns around, despite, you know, obviously probably seeing quite a bit of her last night, and she asks for Tylenol. Am I supposed to like this bitch? She tells him not to tell anyone that they fucked. Some Asian dude comes in asking if he hit that sweet vagine last night. Classy. This is a classy movie. Bitch does the walk of shame then. Some chick wants her to sign a petition to stop global warming, because that will work. A bunch of pledges are pledging, and one of them straight up dies. Some dude jumps out from behind the wall asking why bitch hasn't returned any texts. She says they went on one date, and bitch makes a tiny penis joke, and bitch walks away. An Asian chick is sitting on the steps listening to J-pop music. Some chick in a sports bra says that bitch better have used a condom, and bitch's roommate explains that bitch was a bitch. Her roommate presents her with a cupcake with a candle in it. She doesn't deserve to have someone this nice to be her roommate. She proceeds to throw the cupcake in the garbage because she's a bitch. Now, we are maybe 10 minutes into this movie, and of course this is, you know, this whole sequence here is going to play an important part for the rest of the movie. But I wanted to kind of take a moment here, because obviously I'm going to spoil who the killer is. I'm going to straight up talk about this entire movie. So if you haven't watched this movie, do yourself a favor and watch this movie. It was entertaining enough for me to actually tell you to go watch this movie. The other thing, the premise of this movie is clearly ripped straight from Groundhog Day. So much so that we'll get into it in a little bit. But anyways, because of the fact that it's ripped straight from Groundhog Day, you might be questioning why I continue to call this chick a bitch. But, if I ever did Groundhog Day, which I wouldn't because it's not a horror movie, I would say that Bill Murray's character was a complete asshole for the majority of the beginning of the movie. Now, they decided to double down on it here and make this character equally unlikable at the beginning of the movie, so hopefully she'll learn a lesson by the end of it. Because that's exactly what Bill Murray did. But it doesn't escape the fact that this person and Bill Murray's character were terrible assholes. And yes, what both of them are going to go through here is enough to, I guess, make somebody different. But I don't know. It just seems like you could try to make this person a little bit more likable right off the bat. Because right in the first, 15 minutes here, nothing is redeemable about her. She's an asshole to her roommate. She's an asshole to everyone that walks by her. She seems to think that she fucking owns the world. But don't worry, it'll change. Anyways, back to the movie. Some dude is selling campus swag. He's doing a great job of really, really selling the fact that you should buy it with his incredibly slow delivery. A black chick sits down at the table with the rest of the cunts, and they fat shame her. So dude from the beginning runs up to them just as black chick is getting up, and he slams into her, kind of spilling stuff all over our main chick. He then fucks off. The bitch apparently is dodging calls from her dad, and he's probably just trying to wish her a happy birthday, because remember, it's her birthday. She wonders how her roommate was able to figure out that it's her birthday, despite her ringtone saying that fact. A bitch is now referenced as Tree by her roommate, so I'm guessing that's what her name is. And Tree arrives at the clinic to get the morning after pill, or an abortion, I don't know. Roommate tries to talk her out of it, I guess? There's a security guard outside a room that she passes before she sneaks into the office of hot teacher / doctor. I see now her roommate didn't want her to fuck her teacher. And her roommate is completely right, because we find out that hot teacher's wife has arrived to cockblock him. So Teresa, or Tree, as she's going to be called here, not only is a cunt to everyone, but is also fucking a married man. These are redeeming qualities for your main character to have. Danielle comes in wearing Tree's outfit, and says she will try not to get cum on it. Danielle is the chick from before who had the workout tear out on, even though I doubt that she works out. Teresa gets a call on her phone from someone she stood up. It appears to sound as if it's her dad. We see her pass a group of people, but one of them stops and stares at her from behind. She is walking down the world's longest stairway and walks into a tunnel. There's a music box sitting in the middle of the tunnel. Because that's not creepy at all. No, not at all. Teresa steps up to the music box, because that's something that I definitely would not fucking do. Someone walks behind her and makes a noise. We see that the person is wearing a baby mask. Teresa tells him to go kill a fat chick. Yes, she's a fantastic person. She says she is calling the cops, and baby dude runs away. She walks to the end of the tunnel, and the music box starts back up again. She turns around, and baby dude jumps down, pulls a knife on her, but she runs away. She proceeds to then trip, because that's what women do in horror movies, and she gets stabbed in the head. She dead. But wait, she's not, because she wakes up to Carter bent over. Carter is the name of the gentleman that she apparently spent the night with. She quickly changes as Carter says exactly the same thing he said before, but this time she stops and she says that his name is Carter. She then asks for Tylenol, and then she tells him exactly where to find it, instead of just walking over and getting it herself. Carter says she's been here before. Asian guy busts in again, asking if she hit that sweet vagina or what. Teresa is confused, and she blows off petition lady, sees the guys getting soaked with the lawn sprinklers, the pledges, the car alarm, the one day tiny dick dude. Teresa asks Tim what day it is. Tim is tiny dick dude. He says it's Monday the 18th. Asian chick, who at this point is my pick for killer, is still outside. Teresa has the same conversation with Danielle again, but says that she's having deja vu. Danielle says that means someone is thinking about you while they masturbate. She has it 5 times a day. I sure hope... Ooh, that's weird. I'm trying to figure out how you would come to that conclusion? That's what deja vu means? But, I don't know. It would be interesting, though, if you did actually know when people were thinking about you masturbate. I have a feeling I would never get that feeling. Roommate still manages to arrive at her dorm at 9:20, even though she did things differently. This is something that has always kind of bothered me whenever they do these kinds of movies where, people get a second chance to do things and everything like that. Because if you really get down to it, the idea that she's going through the same day she's going to throw different tangibles at these people. She's going to change things, you know, she's going to act differently. So they shouldn't really be sticking to a script, because that seems to take away, you know, their kind of free will, their improvisational tools. They should definitely be, I get that they do this in the movie to make you understand that you're watching the same day over and over again, but there should be slight variations, because everything is slight variations. You know, you think of one thing to say, it comes out differently. You know, there's a lot of different things that are going to happen. You know, even though like the situations are the same, they're going to be a little bit different because Teresa is changing the way that she acts around people. So it's kind of odd that, you know, so many people in the movie will continue to do the exact same thing with very, very few times that things have actually changed that much. But yeah, and then of course there's this, where the fact that she manages to get into the dorm room at the exact same time on the second day here as she did on the first day, despite the fact that she, you know, kind of truncated her conversation with Tim, talked a little bit differently with him, got out of Carter's room earlier than she did originally. But this is what's going to keep happening. So this time she did not throw the cupcake away. She put it on the counter. Tree sits in a daze at the meeting, and she sees the baby masks for sale. Daniel fat-shapes Becky, who still runs into Carter. Carter walks away, and Tree asks for her bracelet. He seems confused that she knows that he has it. Tree arrives at Dick Teacher's office to talk to him. She wants to talk about what is going on, but Teacher just wants to bang. And then his wife comes in. Tree is sitting on her bed watching a video of her last birthday? Maybe earlier birthday? Some kind of birthday. And apparently, she shares a birthday with her mother, because they say they are both celebrating. Danielle makes an incredibly disrespectful Down syndrome voice, because that's appropriate. And Danielle is still coming to the grips with her murder Groundhog's Day adventure. She did still blow off her dad, which is a dick move. She walks through the crowd and sees that dude staring at her, but he's apparently not the killer. So then she, wait a minute. So if she still doesn't fully, even if she still doesn't fully believe it's the same day, why would she wear the same exact dress? Like, she clearly at this point has kind of thought that might be what's going on, that it's the same day. Why would you still get dressed up? Why would you still wear that same dress? We proceed to hear the music box from the tunnel, and she decides to turn around and run away. It's the first smart thing she's done so far. Tree makes it to a fraternity, but the door is locked. She turns and sees a dude in a baby mask, and she punches him. Lights go on, and the entire house is there to throw her a surprise birthday party. Danielle is pissed because Tree's roommate is not there, and Due to God Punch comes over. Danielle also has an incredibly fucking terrible laugh, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Baby Mask says she can make it up to him later, because that's not rapey. Apparently Danielle and her terrible laugh is because she likes this dude. This is apparently Nick, the guy that she made a comment about earlier, about trying not to get his jizz on the dress. Tree follows the guy up to his room, because she's an asshole. Nick has a giant bong next to his bed, which isn't smart. You don't want to spill bong water on your pillow, bro. It takes forever to get out, it's just not going to be the same, and you get that shit on the mattress, that mattress is done, dude. You do not want to sleep on a mattress that smells like bong water. So Tree fixes her hair in the mirror, and dude in a baby mask is behind her. She thinks it's Nick, and it is. This is where things get really fucking weird. He hits a switch, and a bunch of lights and loud music start to go off, because this is the Pleasure Dome. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want any distractions during certain times. And like, I feel like you have too much of a chance of the person that you take home having a seizure by having all this shit go on, or at the very least be so fucking like confused by all the noise and stuff like that, that it just wouldn't happen. Baby Mask Killer walks up behind Nick as Danielle texts Tree. She asks if Tree is with him right now, and Tree responds that she would never do that to her. So lying. Cut back, and literally Nick is getting slaughtered. Back to the phone, and Danielle responds, Don't you mean again, you whore? Tree responds with, at least my nickname wasn't Blow? And then some kind of emoji I didn't catch, so I don't know what that was. I'm not a 15-year-old girl. Also, very classy to, you know, apparently you fuck this dude that your friend likes before, and you respond by making fun of her. Danny responds, I hope you both die. Tree tries to walk away, and she sees Nick is dead on the ground. She hits Baby Mask Killer in the face, but he throws her on the bed. Some dude walks in, and she screams, help me, but he just yells, oh, and fucks off. Baby Mask shatters the bong and stabs Teresa in the face. She wakes up in Carter's dorm. She flips out and gets changed. Teresa finally figures out what's going on. She rushes out and almost hits Asian dude. She slaps a petition out of that chick's hand, and she sees everything that shows us that she is reliving her death over and over again. She runs into Tim and gets back to her dorm. Despite all of that, despite the fact that she grabbed her clothes, ran out of the dorm, ran through the fucking crowd, didn't talk to Tim, despite all of that, she makes it at the exact same time. She skipped her entire conversation with Carter, getting Tylenol, Asian dude busting in, skipped her entire conversation with Tim, and most likely Danielle, but still arrives at the exact same time in her dorm, as evidenced by the same part of the song Ophelia playing. I'm calling bullshit on that. There's no fucking reason for her to show up at that exact same time. Teresa says she thinks she's losing her mind. She explains that she has lived through this day twice. She says that a roommate made her a cupcake and there's a surprise party. Well, of course, Lori thinks someone told her, because that's not convincing enough. Teresa says that someone will kill her tonight. Lori lets us know that apparently Tree's mother, who shares her birthday, is either dead or otherwise gone, and that's why she doesn't like her birthday. Ugh. Teresa nails her door shut and pushes her dresser in front of the door. And the rolling blackout hits again. This is something I kind of missed the first couple of times. Apparently there's rolling blackouts during this. And so each day it hits at the exact same fucking time. Someone yells, who took my hairdryer? Which kind of made me laugh. Teresa is actually fixing to eat her cupcake, but then she wants to find the remote. She sees that someone has sent her a card. The card has a spinning baby face on it and says, enjoy today because there is no tomorrow. Then the TV cuts out. And then it immediately turns back on. And then the channel changes, and it cuts out again. So, clearly someone is within distance to use the remote that she can't find. There's a noise from the closet. Teresa grabs a hammer that just so happens to have been in her room, because she was nailing the door shut before. And she opens a closet to find nobody. She hears that somebody is in the bathroom now, so she slowly walks to the bathroom. She's about to open the shower curtain when the TV turns back on. Now, this is the reason, despite what my wife thinks, that I do not like to have the shower curtain completely pulled across, because if someone is going to hide, you give them a perfect hiding spot. But if you push the shower curtain all the way to the side, and then you walk in there and it's suddenly all the way closed, then you know there's somebody behind there, and you can just close the fucking door and run the fuck out of the house. But if you want to keep giving potential serial killers places to hide, by all means, continue to pull the shower curtain closed. Anyways, we see that Baby Mask is behind her now somehow. This makes no fucking sense. How this guy got in, how he was able to get behind her at this point, I don't know. But he still misses trying to hit her, and she hits him with a hammer. He stabs her, and she screams awake in Carter's room. At this point, it's clearly obvious that Baby Mask is not a very good fucking killer, because each of the three times now that we've watched her get killed, he has been almost easily thwarted before finally being able to kill her. As she wakes up, her phone rings. She throws it against the wall. This time, when she runs outside, she doesn't hit Asian guy, but he does peek around the door, which was kind of comical. She's also wearing Carter's shirt because she never changed this time. We then get her flipping the fuck out. Carter brings her stuff, and she hugs him. Okay, so Now for a line that somebody typed into a Word document, and now that I have to type into a Word document because it's in this script. Will you please stop staring at me like I took a dump on your mom's head? That's something I never thought I would say in my life, nor type for that matter. So Tree explains everything to Carter. He says that whoever is killing her knows it's her birthday and says that that is significant. And Carter also admits that he did not fuck Teresa. Now that's a bummer for him. Teresa lists a bunch of people who have a motive, including an Uber driver she spat on and a girl she got fired from TJ Maxx. He says she has unlimited lives and she needs to use them to find out who the killer is. So she starts a suspect list, which of course would disappear after each of her deaths. So hopefully she just remembers it. Not sure why she writes it down, because she has to recreate this list every time, as well as cross the people off that she's already crossed off before every single time that she resets. But she starts with Tim. She's spying on him, and Tim is jerking off while watching gay porn. For some reason, that appears to make him not a suspect. It's confirmed because when she turns around, she immediately gets grabbed and stabbed, and it's clearly not him. But she's like instantly like, oh, he's gay, so he can't be the killer. When she wakes up, she checks her phone, and for some reason, Carter acts as if he knows what's going on, but he would also reset, so I don't know why he was not at all like taken aback by her just chucking her fucking phone across the room. We see her cutting her hair and dyeing it, for some reason, I guess. We also see that Nick was the first on her suspect list, but he is crossed off because he was killed on her second playthrough. So that was kind of a nice little thing, like, just to show that she's not that intelligent, that she'd still put him as, like, his number one suspect, and then she's like, oh, wait, duh, I already watched him get killed. She then spies on Stephanie, and Teresa turns around and gets tackled by the killer and drowned. So, clearly not Stephanie. She wakes up and focuses on Danielle next. Danielle gets run into by somebody, and she proceeds to drop the black envelope that she will later give to Teresa for the birthday card. Teresa, who I see has now just taken to keeping Carter's shirt, calls her a bitch and starts to fight with her. She punches the shit out of her, and they both get hit by a bus. For some reason, this makes Teresa think that Danielle is not the killer, because she crosses her name out. But how does that not make you a suspect? You just found evidence. So, why are you just like, alright, well, she's not it. Up next is Gregory. Teresa walks out of Carter's room completely naked this time, because it doesn't matter, she knows it's going to reset. She stands behind a tree and cracks Becky in the head with a bat, killing her. And then she gets hit with a bat herself, making Becky not the killer. But of course, she never did actually go and figure out what was going on with Gregory. Teresa says that Carter's plan sucks. Teresa starts to have stomach pains, and she starts having tunnel vision. She passes out in Asian guy's arms. Teresa wakes up in the hospital, and first she thinks she sees Baby Mask enter her room, but it's really Carter. The rolling blackout occurs, and when lights come back on, Gregory is standing behind Carter in a great fucking little jump scare. Carter proceeds to leave, and Gregory says he is having trouble pulling her medical records. She has a ton of scar tissue and lesions inside of her, so each death is actually having a physical effect on her. Which means that Carter's plan is actually causing some real damage to her, and it is a terrible fucking plan. Gregory says he won't let anything happen to her, and she asks for a soda. As a doctor, he should not get her a soda. He should be getting her water. Oh wait, never mind, he does. And she is gone before he gets back. Teresa then Mission Impossibles her way out of the hospital, and she breaks into Gregory's office and finds a Baby Mask hidden in his drawer. She walks back through the hallway, and Gregory stops her, but then is immediately killed by Baby Mask. Teresa runs into a parking garage with Baby Mask right behind her. Baby Mask, again, is a pretty terrible killer, who somehow keeps managing to kill Teresa. Because, at this point, she should have got away, but she kind of, like, dicks around, so she's fine. Teresa hides behind a car and hits the car unlock button to find Gregory's car. She makes a break for it and gets in just as Baby Mask reaches her. He shatters the window and grabs her, but she hits it in reverse, hits a car, and then drives off. And then she tries to run him over, but he dives out of the way, so at least she tried. But she makes it out of the garage. Teresa yells, "Catch me now, bitch!" And the police pull her over. A cop strolls up and tells her to turn off the engine. She tells the cop that a person is trying to kill her. Now, the police officer here should probably understand that this woman is claiming someone is trying to kill her, but instead he's just like, eh, whatever, fuck you. But she kind of figures out that if she claims that she is drunk, then the officer will have to arrest her, which of course would put her into safe custody. So she says she's drunk, she says she's on a bunch of different drugs. She hops out and lets the cop put the handcuffs on her. She thanks him as she gets put in the back of the car, and then a car runs the fucking cop over in a great fucking segment. It was completely out of the fucking blue. Out of that car steps Baby Mask. Now, I don't care that none of that made sense, considering that Baby Mask came from the other way. That was a great surprise moment in this. I did not see the cop getting run over there. She yells to Baby Mask to show his face, and he walks back to his car and gets in. He has a single birthday candle in his hand. That's important for later. We see that the car is leaking gas all over the ground, and he drops the candle. A perfect line of gas catches on fire and blows up the cop car, because it's a movie. Teresa wakes up. She yells silence as soon as Carter tries to talk to her. She takes the entire bottle of Tylenol. Teresa catches Asian Dude and says that if he refers to women as fine vagina, him and his hand will be longtime friends. It's actually a decent line. Then she proceeds to go out to eat with Carter, which was weird. She burps and then farts about four times because, again, she's not going to remember any of this stuff. At this point, I was pretty sure that her dad is the killer just because she won't fucking answer his call. Or maybe Carter. I don't know. Or my first pick, Asian chick. Whatever. But we find out that 3 years ago, Teresa's mom died. So now we have the full story, or, you know, other than, of course, how she died, but that doesn't seem to really matter. Teresa explains that each time she comes back, she gets weaker and weaker. Then why are you wasting the day talking to Carter instead of collecting clues? We then hear the TV say that John Toombs is at the hospital being treated for a gunshot wound. Teresa believes that Toombs is the killer. They show his victims and he kills a lot of blonde chicks. She grabs an axe and enters his room at the hospital. You see that there's blood all over the wall, and we see Babyface in the room. There's a cop lying on the ground dead as Babyface shoots the axe out of her hand. Babyface then takes off the mask, and it is indeed Toombs. Carter tackles him, and she tries to shoot him, but the gun is out of bullets. He snaps Carter's neck, so at least we know that Carter's not the killer. Teresa runs out a locked door and into the basement from Saw. She hits Toombs, but also realizes that if she doesn't die, Carter will be gone forever. Also that cop and the black nurse will also be dead, but whatever. Teresa is up on top of the stairs and somehow with a noose around her neck. And then she jumps to her death. Where the fuck did this noose come from? She's in a hospital stairwell. Why is there a noose at the top of this tower? Why didn't she just jump to her... Why do they have to put a noose around her neck? She could just jump to her death from that height. Whatever. She wakes up and jumps into Carter's arms. Teresa opens the door, grabs Asian Dude, and spanks him, saying, Bam Vagine, out. So she's all happy now because she knows exactly who the killer is. She calls that the sprinklers are going to go off and throws a pillow on the ground to catch the pledge. She calls out Tim, saying that, you know, he doesn't like girls, and he should stop trying to be someone he's not, and should find himself a fine piece of man-ass. Teresa says to Danielle that his name is Carter, and if she makes it through this day, she is going to have his babies. She rolls up to her roommate, who says that she's been a terrible roommate. Lori asks if she is high. Teresa then calls out Dr. Butler. She's ending the relationship with Gregory, and he's a dick as she walks away. Becky strolls up, and Danielle is about to fat shame her when Teresa strolls up with fries and carrot cake and a bunch of other food. Teresa grabs Becky's chocolate milk and dumps it on Danielle's head. Carter walks up, and Teresa kisses him. Teresa arrives at the restaurant that her dad is at. Teresa proceeds to have a heart-to-heart with her dad. She says she misses mom, and she apologizes for hurting him. We then cut to Teresa preparing for battle. She puts a knife in the guard's up to the guard's neck at the hospital, and she tells the guard that Toombs will escape and he should go get help. Okay, pause. Here's my issue. The first time Teresa is killed, it makes total sense. He had an entire setup for the sorority girl to walk by. The rest of the times, no. He jumped her outside of the dorm room. He found her in her own room. He's never seen her before. So how could he be targeting her? There need to be something else here to explain why she would be targeted. Why would he ever deviate from his original tunnel plan, too? Why would he go after her each time that there are other people in this movie that are blonde sorority chicks? It makes no sense, which is exactly why I knew that he's not the fucking killer. Because it makes no fucking sense that he would be. There's just... he's not a good enough red herring in this movie. Because you just introduced him out of the blue. And then, like I said, I just detailed. Like, none of that shit makes sense that he would be going after each time. So, we're not done yet, folks. Teresa walks up to Toombs, and instead of just killing him, she alerts him at first. She tries to kill him with the gun, but she left the safety on. So he is able to get the gun out of her hand. He then pulls her knife on her. She managed to get past him, but he chucks her into the wall. The lights go out on time, and when they come back on, she's gone and is right behind him. She then proceeds to shoot him in the chest twice. Teresa makes it back home and lights her birthday cupcake. She tells Carter that nobody knows how Toombs got free. Carter asks what she's going to wish for, and she says tomorrow. She blows out her candle, and we fade to black. And then she wakes up in Carter's bed. She screams that she killed him, and this can't be happening. Teresa runs to her dorm. She's flipping out, and Lori lights her cupcake. That is when Teresa figures out that she died in her sleep from a poisoned cupcake. Lori is a nurse, and this is why Toombs always went after Teresa, because it wasn't actually Toombs. See, what happened was, Lori would drug him, put the baby mask on him, and loosen up his restraints. Then she would go and kill Teresa, and everyone would think it's Toombs. Which, if you just rewind that and listen to me again, that makes no fucking sense, but that's what they present to us. They show that Lori drugs him, which I don't fucking understand, and puts the baby mask on him and loosens up his restraints. But what actually seems to happen is that Lori kills her and then just like lets him escape, and everyone thinks that it's him. So I don't know why we had the scene of her drugging him. That doesn't do anything. Why would that do something to him? Anyway, Lori tells Teresa that the reason she kills her is because of Gregory. She wants Gregory to herself. Lori asks how she figured it out, and Teresa says she killed her before. They then have a fight around the room, but nobody seems to hear it. Teresa punches Lori in the stomach and yells, "Eat it, bitch," and she stuffs the cupcake in her mouth, then drop kicks her out the window. Lori falls to her death right in front of the Asian chick. So that's what she's been doing in this movie the entire time. Teresa then falls asleep. Teresa and Carter are watching the news from the cafe, yet there's no way that she would be out of the police station when she killed a chick. This is the same day. This looks like it's maybe like an hour later. She proceeded to kill somebody, and they have no way of knowing at this point that Lori was trying to kill her as well. But it's a movie, so we're just going to go with it. So Carter invites her to crash at his place. He gives her back her bracelet, and then Carter says this whole thing reminds him of Groundhog's Day. Really, movie? We're doing that? That's what we're doing? That's fucking great. Just go ahead and just be like, yeah, we totally stole the storyline from that. She wakes up in Carter's room, and he plays a joke on her by making her think it's still Monday. But it's not. It's Tuesday. So they make out after Ryan tries to get back into the dorm. Ryan is the Asian guy. And we head to the credits. So, all in all, while it's not a completely original idea considering the whole Groundhog's Day movie, it was nice to kind of take that movie and turn it into somebody reliving the same day that they were going to die, and kind of making it a murder mystery. I didn't pick out the roommate as being the killer. It was a nice little turnaround, and but I guess, like I kind of detailed, there was a couple of issues with the movie's storyline wise, and then of course the main character kind of being unlikable. Yes, near the end, obviously she has her big kind of face turn and everything's fine, and you know she's actually a good person now. But there's still a lot of it. And plus, like, you know, Carter just kind of kept going along with things. And I get to an extent, obviously, you know, he has somewhat of feelings for her. But it seemed a little too easy that he just kind of kept being like, okay, yeah, sure, that's fine, whatever. Whatever you say, you crazy fucking chick that I, you know, didn't hook up with, but still took off your clothes and put my clothes on you. Whatever. So, but that's Happy Death Day. So I hope you enjoy the review of it. I hope you enjoyed the movie too, and that I didn't give you a bad recommendation on actually watching the movie, because, like I said, it is pretty decent. There was enough kind of twists and turns in it, which, like I said, if you didn't watch it, you just got spoiled of all of them. But yeah, so I feel like we're going to get back into a little bit better of a routine on things. Obviously, you know, I've still got to finish Harper's Island, and we've got more movies coming to you soon. But make sure to head over to questonnetwork.com or /thesanitarium.weebly.com for more information. There is skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul.